Unlike much music concrete, this piece uses the sounds of a piano only. Serious example and more typically music concrete is the opening, a very striking opening, about 1950 for a dramatic cantata by another composer called Henri. Is his name. It must have been a very striking to see this, as I understand, it's a big elaborate red curtain which was gradually being torn. Anyway, I'll just play the opening of this. I don't have much time to play at all. This must have been very striking thing to see first time. It's very effective. Same time in this country, especially at Columbia University, composers Otto Luening and Vladimir Yuzhaevsky, who are still very much with us. They began their experiments. They were not so limiting as the Parisians and accepted all kinds of sounds. Some of the more usual things, a sound of a cymbal or a gong. They still used jet airplanes and such things. But they would use electronic as well as non-electronic, or let's say musical, sounds. Yuzhaevsky has described the raw material for his own piece here. A gong, a piano, one cymbal stroke, a kettle drum note, the noise of a jet airplane, and a few chords on the organ, for which he wrote this piece is around 1955. The earliest concert of this music was given in 52 at the Museum of Modern Art in New York. I put down a lot of this music because this is where this hokey spaceship stuff comes from. Mr. Yuzhaevsky is very proficient at it, but these are the sounds that he uses. And it's a lot of people dislike this music for this. It's great space movie stuff. So far, music concrète and this American tape music is referred to has been proven to be far more useful for the background for film scores and plays than as material for pure composition. The sounds, as you heard, tend to be quite effective in this medium, have an unearthly quality which suits it well to the expression of, let's say, the more neurotic states of mind. David Weiss at the drama department at the University of Virginia asked myself and a colleague to write some electronic music for a production they did last year of Antigone's Sophocles' Antigone, and even the audience liked it. I think this sort of music, if handled with a certain amount of taste and discretion, even for a classical play, seems to work very well in heightening the dramatic effect of the same. The German school centers around experimentations mainly in Cologne under the direction of Herbert Eimert. Chief composer is a young chap named Karlheinz Stockhausen. The Cologne school uses only sounds that are generated electronically. They regard them as anything else to be aesthetically impure, and follow along in the same compositional procedures developed by Anton Webern. That is a strict, rather predetermined method of composing. They're carried here, and of course, with this equipment, to their most farthest consequences. If you allow me time to run on here, I'd like to play as much as there is a time of a work of Stockhausen's that some of you may know. It is recorded in this country, called The Song of the Young Children. He has taken a soprano voice of a boy soprano and gimmicked it electronically. The text he derives from the Bible, from Daniel. Those of you who know the third chapter, "Ye stars and moon, heavens, praise ye the Lord," etc. The text is unintelligible because the voice part is altered so. It does become intelligible at the words each time, "Praise ye the Lord," Preisen den Herrn. The original composition demanded a rather fantastic setup of speakers, 19 in all actually, surrounding the audience. The effect must have been fairly striking. I'll play a little bit of this. This is just one boy's voice.
Thank you.
technological developments in the past 10 years, greater experience in handling this sort of material, have impelled all three schools now to concentrate more and more on electronically produced sound, simply because it is becoming less and less of a tedious chore. Princeton University, in collaboration with Columbia, has recently, as some of you may know, got a gigantic machine called the RCA synthesizer, which they paid many, 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 many thousands of dollars, which is now in New York City and is drawing composers from all over the country to New York to try to write a great deal of this music. Electronic music centers have been established in Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, in Canada, also in Vancouver, as well as Milan, Rome, Tokyo, London, many other places, and the list keeps growing year after year. So electronic music is still very much in its infancy. A really surprisingly large number of the first-rate musical minds in our country are becoming enamored and extremely interested in this, and certainly the future developments will be of great importance, as well as there will be many future developments, period. I'm sorry I do not have time to get to the more pedantic part, but I was going to play some of my own pieces for you. It's just as well. Can I begin my closing in a rather hokey sort of fashion by quoting some critical reviews of first performances of three compositions? This first chap must have had his Cheerios. "Oh, this work is filthy and vile. It may be a specimen of the school of the future, for aught I know, but if it is, the future will throw all the works of Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven into the rubbish bin." The second one, "Here we now have formlessness elevated to a musical principle, a systematized non-music, a melodic nerve fever written out on the five lines of the staff." And the last one, "Oh, it was generally regarded as a completely incomprehensible production, the depths of which, if there were any depths at all, it was impossible to fathom. This opinion, I must confess, I myself adopted. The only result was an absolute bewilderment among its mazes." I could continue like this, but the point is very easily made. Some of you have already surmised, I'm sure. Some of you may even think the same about this music, or something that you will have heard yesterday or will hear in the next 3 or 4 days. As you've surmised, most of you anyway, these are taken from critiques, respectively, of a Liszt concerto, the first one, Tristan and Isolde, the second one, the last one, horror of horrors, the Beethoven Missa Solemnis, which is probably one of the greatest pieces ever written. With the honest realization that the classics, or what we now regard today as classics, were received with such fantastic amount of hostility and misunderstanding on their first hearings, one nasty question keeps coming. Is it possible that Boulez or Stockhausen will be as famous as a Bach or a Schubert? Even works which were written 40 or 50 years ago, The Rite of Spring comes to mind, or Piero Lunaire, which were first greeted with gross dislike on the part of the public, are now being performed to ever-growing audiences. They even are liking it. And the so-called excesses and the experimentations of the early parts of this decade are now accepted common practice. These elderly composers have won their own battle of modern music. You should not be dismayed then to learn that other chaps are continuing looking, experimenting. They're throwing a great deal of what they find away and keeping some of what they like. Many of you will regard much of what you've heard with raised eyebrows and some chuckles. It's certainly your privilege to do so. Keep in mind, will you, at the same time, that it's also your prerogative to realize the urgency, or maybe primacy is a better word, of one's creative imagination, since all art, at the most basic of levels, reflects the attitude of one individual who is creating it. The danger of this constant complaint you hear of much modern music, of dehumanization, should not cause you to lose sight of the fact that's the product that is of vital importance, not all the processes that are involved in creating the product. And throughout the whole course of music history, the producers of these products have done some extremely strange and acted in sometimes very, very startling ways. There's absolutely no reason to believe that this is going to continue in the future, that artists will still create with the same amount of vitality, which for a musician is just an honest and intense love of music. I want to thank you very much for your time. It's a pleasure being here. I look forward to the next 3-4 days. Thank you very much.